Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, it's still playing DC Talk and KJ52, my favorite Christian rapper. And that's okay, because it's still anointed. I do have a new introduction, and next week you'll be hearing that. But welcome to Anointed Supernatural, where we explore keys to accessing heaven. And I'm super psyched for our guest today. He is a prophetic father in the body of Christ. He is a revivalist. He is a man that has his finger on the pulse as far as what the Father is saying to the church and to the world. Prophetically, he's seen incredible signs and wonders following his ministry and a great teacher of the world. He's from Canada, and many of you listening, I know, have anticipated this for some time. We have the wonderful, kind, gentle, and anointed Darren Canning. Darren, have I got you on the air?
I hope so. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. Man, it's been too long, bro. It's been 2.5-3 years.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to do the show, to hear your voice again.
Well, I have to say, you're sounding pretty good on the other. I was looking at a picture of you. It looks like you're getting younger. What's going on there? You're just in the glory. You're not aging, you're getting younger.
So. I think you're sucking up, really. That's what's going on right now. No, I've had people say that. I think it's just the glory. You know what I mean? God is good, isn't he? I grew a beard, too, so maybe that has something to do with it.
You grew a beard. That means you're now culturally relevant.
I don't have the honking beard, not the big beard. You know what I mean? It's like a... Some of the younger guys have these great big beards, but for me at 43, I'd have all gray in there, so I'm not going to use the Grecian formula, you know what I mean?
Yeah, my brother walked into my parents' house the other day, and he was sporting the Abraham Lincoln, you know what I mean?
I do. Yeah. I think if I was younger, I would do it. I tried to do it recently because I was watching. I was looking at Todd Bentley on the Facebook, and he was growing this great big beard. I thought, I'm going to do it. So I got to week, I think it was 12, and I decided that was enough of that and shaved it back down because it was starting to look too bushy. I'm already having trouble crossing borders. I didn't want trouble crossing borders.
Yeah, well, I understand. and your And I'm sure that your wife probably appreciated it when you trimmed it
back.
Nah,
she loves the beards. She doesn't care. She's funny. She likes beards more than I do.
You've got an incredible wife, man.
Her dad had a bushy beard all through her childhood, so she kind of likes beards, you know what I mean? She's a good wife.
I get it.
Awesome.
Man, I'm down with that. That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, brother, you're these days a global trotter. You're a journeyman. And I want to ask you what you've been up to. I noticed that you've just done a conference called Crescendo. And I love the slogan of this, accessing the portals of riches. And you were on there with Jeff Jansen and a few other anointed speakers. Can you tell us a little bit about this conference and what you've been doing in the last 2 to 3 weeks and what you've seen the Lord doing?
Well, what was interesting about the timing of that conference, the young man who put that conference together, his name is Terry Nicoa, and he's from Puerto Rico. And essentially, Puerto Rico is where Columbus landed 500 years ago. And so it was really one of the first places in the New World. And when they saw the potential within the New World for riches, they were amazed. So Terry put the conference together essentially to try to re-dig the wells of Christian, like a godly prosperity for North America. And just before we do that conference, Puerto Rico's economy collapsed. It was they raised the taxes, they canceled national holidays and everything. So the timing of that was amazing. So when we were down there, Jeff's awesome, by the way, he's a great guy. And Jeff and I began to prophesy about the new day of kingdom finances coming into North America and really the Western world and really to the globe, and that in the place of where the world is talking collapse, we're saying God is going to do a new thing. So even though there's economic collapse, we're believing God is redigging the wells of prosperity starting in the place of the collapse. So it was a special place, but I just tell you, doing a conference in Puerto Rico is not bad because you're right on the Caribbean Ocean. So, you know, the guys and I got to go swimming in the water and eat nice food sitting by the most beautiful beaches I've ever seen in my life so far.
Wow.
Suffering for the Lord, you know what I mean?
Did you go deep sea diving?
No.
Fishing?
I just bobbed in the water a little bit. We just went down to the beach and floated.
Praise God.
It was nice. The waves were nice.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this question. It's been prophesied and talked about for some time, my mind is taken back to Mike Bickle, and I believe that it would have been early 2000s, and he was talking about a time when the wealth of the wicked would be transferred to the righteous. And I've heard this prophecy spoken of a lot in the body of Christ, not so much in the past 5 years, but there was a period there where it was spoken of a lot. And I tend to agree that as the world system and the economic system crumbles, the kingdom of heaven is going to expand all over the globe. Do you believe that this is the time where the wealth of the wicked or the wealth of the world, however you want to state it, will be transferred to the kingdom of heaven, to the kingdom of light?
Well, I mean, for me, I mean, I'm aware of that word, and I have a way of looking at that. It's maybe a little different. Essentially, I don't know about the timing of that word, you know what I mean? I mean, I pray that it's any day, but essentially I believe that as Christians, we walk in prosperity every single day, and that the blessings of the Lord, they taste the righteous, you know what I mean? So we should be walking in that word daily. So I'm continuously asking God for strategies for the wealth of the world to come into our bank account in order to reach the world for Christ. So, and not only that, I mean, I want my family to have the things that they, that I want them to have. So, you know, we need to live blessed lives, but I'm not going to wait for some day in the future for that to take place. I'm living in that in the moment. You know what I mean? So my faith is activated to live that daily. So you'll see me travel all over the world. You'll see me blessing my family. And it's not because, you know, we have this crazy bank account with millions in it. It's because I just trust that God is going to transfer the wealth in the moments that we need it. So really, I mean, in the last year, I've done probably 10 or 12 really wild ministry trips around the globe, and we never had no money to do it. So the wealth is constantly transferring. You understand what I mean by that?
Yeah, yeah. So
but we activate.
Let me ask you.
Faith.
Amen. 100% agree. I really like what you've just said, because some people believe that before they step out in faith and start serving the Lord and step into their ministry, that they need everything to be in, you know, money in their bank account. They need to be totally together inside of their heart, you know, totally healed on the inside. You know, they need all these things lined up in a row. You know, can you speak on the tension between, okay, God's doing a work in our life and will provide what we need to go. And on the flip side of that, we also need to have faith and believe that, you know, the money that's not in our bank account will be added as we step out.
Yeah, let me tell you a little story. First of all, my faith is the way I operate in ministry is according to Matthew chapter 10. And for the people listening, they may want to read that later. But Jesus essentially sends out 70 and tells them to go out and begin to preach the kingdom and not to worry about gold for their money belts or not even really take two shirts or just one pair of shoes on their feet. Now, I always take a suitcase because I like to have a few shirts. But but I essentially, you know what I mean? It says, go into the town that you're going to, find a house worthy for you to stay in. And when you're there, you know, let your peace rest on that house and preach that the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, you know, cast out devils. Well, that's what I do. I take that scripture very literally. I know there was a lot of people back in the early days of my ministry, even before I would hear that that was fine for the first century church, but it doesn't work in today's. That's not true. Essentially, if you follow what's laid out for us in scripture, the principles that Christ gave us even for worldwide mission today are the same today as they were then. I tend just to believe that foolishly. Here's an example. Last year, my family and I went on a missionary trip, I guess, or a missions trip into the United States. And we had no money. I mean, I didn't even have I think I had $200 left on my credit card, which was pretty sad, to be honest with you. I freaked out. I mean, I cried. I mean, that was a spot I didn't want to get to, but we actually invested so much in ministry over the previous 18 months that that's where I got to. And the reason why I got to that place is because God was trying to show me that I could trust him and not my bank accounts. But anyway, I got down into the States. I never had no money for even a hotel. And we got down there, and I remember I was preaching along the New Jersey. I was down in New Jersey along near Atlantic City. I was going to take a day and go into Atlantic City and just be with my family. Well, when I got in there, the hotel we were staying in was right in the middle of a drug-infested neighborhood, and I got pretty scared. If it was just me, I would have been fine, but I had my four kids with me there. I actually have seven children. Four were with me on that trip, and all young, and I thought, oh, God, we can't stay here. So we just began to drive, and I had no money, didn't know where we were going to stay, and I contacted a friend. We're driving for 4 hours, and they're trying to find us a hotel. They found us a hotel, got in there. My credit card would not work, so now the prospect was I'm on a missionary trip, in the middle of the United States, and I don't have a place for me and my four kids to stay. Well, my friend ended up paying for that hotel room. And I mean, it was like not just a hotel room either. We're talking, it was like a 4-star hotel room with like a hot tub. And the kids got, I remember the kids were in the hot tub in the bedroom, and they got the room so wet. We had to have the maid come and change all the sheets on the bed because they soaked the room completely. So now if I didn't step out in faith, I wouldn't have that story to tell you today. I mean, there was no reason for me to go on that trip in the natural, but I had a dream, you see, about 6 months prior to that trip, and I saw in the dream that if I would go, that my kids were going to have fun, and that money would follow the trip, and that's exactly what happened. By the time we came home, we had everything paid for. I mean, everything was paid for on that trip, and all of our expenses were taken care of. And we had incredible testimonies of healing, of signs and wonders following. So I take it literally. The Bible and the way Christ told us to move out, I move out that way. I've learned to trust Him through experiences like that.
I think people listening to that story, you know, would be a bit dumbfounded to hear that still happens today. And I really encourage people listening to read what it says in the Bible, and as Darren said, to take it literally. You know, Christ doesn't ask us to do things that supernaturally we're not going to be able to do, but He does ask us to do things that are impossible in the natural realm. Darren, I just want to look, if you could. Yeah, please.
I was just going to say we're about to do another crazy trip like that, and not because we got the money lined up for it, but we're about to do a 5-week trip into Texas, and we're driving probably 7,000 kilometers on that trip. And we don't have a clue where we're going to stay. We don't even think we have money to make it there, let alone get back. So but I saw it, you see, I saw it in a dream, so we're doing it again. That's true.
With kids, bro, I respect. With kids, I understand. Long drive.
Do you know Wesley Campbell? You've heard Stacy,
yeah.
Wesley Campbell. He's a friend of mine. He had 5 kids, and he said that they entered full-time ministry when their family looks like our family. They have 4 boys, and the youngest was a girl, so they had 5, and we have 4 in our immediate, like in the house here, plus the youngest now is a girl. So he said, they did it, we can do it. So they used to travel all over the earth with all their kids. I mean, they'd spend 3 months in Australia, 3 months in England. So, I mean, if they did it, we can do it, you know?
Praise God. Well, I'm looking forward to just hearing the stories of... I'm just looking forward to hearing the stories of how you kept your kids entertained in the car.
You just threaten them a lot.
I think we'll just get you on,
sir. I just threaten.
Yeah. What is it saying? Proverbs, don't spare the rod. I'm joking.
Oh, you only got to look back in the mirror. No, it goes well. They have fun.
Yeah, good. Hey, if you could, you've got just your whole life is a testimony, and you know, Jeremiah's life was a prophetic declaration and a prophetic action of what would become, or what would come upon Israel in the future. It all happened to Jeremiah before it happened to Israel. And I think that, you know, I know a little bit about, you know, your story, just some of the things that the church faces today, it's like you faced in the past and have been prepared to help lead and shepherd the church, you know, in many areas. Would you just share, as the Spirit leads you, a bit of your testimony, maybe about how you came to know Jesus and just some of the points that, you know, you think that would be really powerful for people to hear?
Yeah, that's, I can do. Well, I mean, I think my life is a prophetic statement of the church. I think all of our lives are meant to be that way, and we minister from the place of our story, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I'm fourth generation wild Christian, you know, my family generations now have been. My great grandfather in Newfoundland had a wild healing anointing and touched his town for Christ. And I remember seeing a picture of him one time, and it looked like he had fire in his eyes, and the picture was almost 100 years old. So that's the kind of people I come out of it. They were missionaries. He went to Newfoundland in Canada to be a missionary, to serve a missionary doctor, and he started a farm to feed the hospitals. And then my grandmother, on his daughter, got healed of cancer. So such a crazy miracle that when she saw the doctor again, he fainted because he thought she should be dead. I mean, you're talking amazing miracles for generations. And then in the last generation, my mother and my father, they went through a divorce, and that sort of set in a generational thing. And I first met the Lord. I mean, all through my life, I've been a seer. I've seen in the spirit. I would be called a seer prophet. And I've seen in the spirit since I can remember. I mean, 3, 4, 5 years old, I can remember dreams and encounters with not just angels, but even with demons when I was that age, terrifying stuff. And then I really gave my heart to the Lord at 7. Then my parents, because we went through a divorce, we were shunned from the church. So I left the church and came back again at 15 and gave my heart to the Lord, and then served the Lord for 6 years. And I went off to Bible school and studied to become, I became a pastor. And through that experience, saw revival break out in a little church here in Canada. And we saw hundreds of kids touched by Christ during those just 18 months, really. And then I got kicked out of that church. And so after I got kicked out of the church, and really it was because I was young, and for my part, I had a real bad temper issue that arose because of the family divorce and stuff like that. I ended up going back to university and doing 2 more degrees, one in philosophy and one in government management. But I became an atheist when I began to study philosophy and was an atheist for 9 years. And in those years, I had gotten married when I was a youth minister, had 2 daughters. But in my atheist years, I threw it all away, literally threw it all away, and became wild, got into drugs, alcohol, and really got into witchcraft to a certain extent, and began to read charts and began to associate with witches and stuff like that, and even sorcerers. So my life became pretty crazy, and I ended up getting tormented. I was demonized, and at a certain point in year 7 of this lifestyle, I found myself trying to commit suicide one night after my marriage had fallen apart a year prior, and a year without seeing my daughters. I was in a closet hanging, and I was blacking out, literally blacking out, seeing stars, when God spoke to me. And in speaking to me, I heard the compassion of God, and it was the first time I had heard that in a long time. And he said, "What are you doing? I've got a plan for your life." Well, that put the brakes on the suicide attempt. I always tell people, when God speaks to an atheist, it confuses the atheist, you know. And so I had to really think about what was going on there. And so I ended up at that point. Took me 2 more years, and I finally came back to the Lord. My mom was at a church in the Ottawa Valley here in Ontario, near the nation's capital, and it was a little country church. I went in there and had an encounter with God, the peace of God, and then I started having lots and lots of crazy visions and dreams, seeing my future as sort of like an apostolic minister in the earth. And that drew me back in. So what would I say about my life? I think if you look at Scripture, and you look at Israel, Israel was the child, like God's chosen one. And you and I in Christ are chosen, but it doesn't mean we always serve him well or honor him. And I look at the church today as a, to be quite honest, when you look at the church in this hour, there's not much in the church that I would look at as resurrected. Most of it looks like a fallen kind of thing, and you see people wishy-washy in their faith. They're not willing to hold to the truths and the truths of Scripture. They don't want to take strong grounds. They want to live like the world. They want to do what the world does. And if you even challenge people on some of the things, I recently, like, if you listen, I remember when, you remember, I don't know if you guys know down in Australia where you're from, but we have a restaurant in the U.S. called Chick-fil-A, and it's a chicken restaurant, and it's sort of like a fast food place that's owned by Christians, okay? And they came out strong in support of Christian marriage and really resisted the whole notion of homosexual marriage within America. Well, let me tell you what happened. The non-Christians came up against that restaurant so strong that I thought, we thought they could shut it down. But you got Christians in America that will eat at any place that supports and support. They don't have any conscience when it comes to the people that are presenting the other way of living. They don't. They just go, well, everybody thinks that way. We might as well serve there anyway. So there's no backbone within the church. And this, to me, is the dilemma that we are in. And because of this fallen nature that's within the church and in this hour, we are not seeing it rise up as the giant that it was intended to be. But my belief, because the Lord gave me a dream about 2 years ago, maybe three or four now, it's been a while, I'd say 2 or 3 years ago, I saw, I was in heaven in a vision, and I was signing this document, and it was sort of like an enlistment into the Lord's army. And I remember I hesitated signing it because I knew the sacrifice that would be to join the Lord's army on my family. And if you know, if you study war at all, when a man would enlist in the army, it meant that they would have to be away from their family. Well, many people in the church today would not sacrifice to actually present the gospel in the earth. They do not want to sacrifice. They don't sacrifice their life. They don't sacrifice their finances. They don't sacrifice their time. If it's convenient, they'll do it. Most Christians won't do it. Most Christians just want to feel good, to have a little encounter with the Holy Spirit, but they're really, at the end of the day, not going to sacrifice and enter into the sufferings of Christ to actually propel the gospel to the ends of the earth. But the Lord said to me, and I did in that moment, I signed that document in heaven, and it was scary because I remember seeing my family there and thinking I might not spend time with them. But I signed it anyway because I knew that I had to pay the cost. And the Lord said to me, because you signed it, it comes with the highest honors. So everywhere I go, I mean, I tell people that in order to be in the Lord's army, you really have to count the cost because the cost is high. But I'll tell you what, the Lord says in the scripture, you won't give up one thing in this life that you won't receive back 100 times more in this life and a lot more in the life to come. So when I signed that document, it was sort of like a test from the Lord. After that, my family and I became stronger. We began to travel in ministry together. So the sacrifice, and there are times I do have to be, it's difficult. There have been times I've had to be away from my young family for 2 weeks at a time. But we've seen the craziest things occur in ministry. I mean, miracles where you would walk into a room and gold appears on 5 or 6 or 7 people's faces. Healings of diabetes. People who are mentally ill, just being rejuvenated right in the moment. You know, the sacrifice is worth it because the church is becoming recharged. So that's the way I look at it. We need to get back. So the church really in this hour is like fallen Israel that's going after the other gods. And, that, and I know that's a tough word that people probably don't want to hear, but that's what's happening. But God is calling us back to himself. And if they will just turn from their wicked ways, because a lot of the ways, even in the church in this hour, is wicked, just like I believe that the Lord had his hand on my life during all those atheistic years. But, I mean, I was not a victorious at all, but he called me back and wooed me back, and now I'm trying to lead a charge, to be like a forerunner into the earth for a new era of missions, like the Xaviers, like Saint Patrick, where they took lands and countries for the Lord. And I believe as a church, that's what we're rising into, but it's going to come because people knew how to pay the cost.
There is an, I'm kind of just sitting back laughing here because that's exactly the message that we need to hear, and no one's exempt from anywhere. We need to hear the truth, and we need to hear the real prophetic word, which doesn't tickle ears. And I can think of probably about 7 questions to ask you in regards to what you've just communicated, but with as you travel around the world and connecting in with what you just said about Christians choosing convenience over obedience and co-laboring and entering into the sufferings of Christ, are you seeing change? So, for example, after you go and do these conferences and minister in a church, do you then hear testimony of pastors coming and sort of saying, you know, that these people, as a result of the message that you brought and the Spirit of God moving in their hearts, are now on fire and are entering into those sufferings of Christ? Or at this stage, do you sort of think that the church is asleep and it's a patience game and a game of being consistent in trying to wake her up?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, yes, it is, and yes, it's not. I mean, we do hear testimonies of people's life. I was in Montreal. The story that came into my spirit, I'll share. I was there in Montreal, and there's a center breaking open there right now underneath a young guy. Well, two guys, really. Tony Silvera is the apostolic father of the Passion Center in Montreal. Brand new work, really, only about a year old. And the guy who I work with is actually a part of that center, and he's leading a group called We Are One. And he's a young man who really already within 8 months is having a huge impact in the city of Montreal. He came on to one of my trips with me to Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, back last year, and got so fired up for God that he went home and all of a sudden he was prophesying more accurately and signs and wonders were beginning to break out. Well, within 9 months, he's now done 3 or 4 conferences with big name speakers. He's actually connected now with some of the bigger name ministers within the country to break open greater things in Quebec. But within his church, one time I went there, we had about 120 people, which, I mean, for a work that's only 7 or 8 months old, that's a pretty good group, you know what I mean, that showed up for this revival service. Well, signs and wonders began to break out in 2 stories that stand out. This one girl, she was probably about 17 or 18 years old. She looked like a Harry Potter sister. Are you there? I lost you.
Yeah, still here.
Yeah. So I was in there. The signs of wonder began to break out. And one of the biggest manifestations in my ministry right now is gold dust, okay? Now, I know I just offended half the audience with that one, but that's okay. You'll have to get over it. So gold dust breaks out in that meeting, and it's all over my hands, and then it breaks out over her hands. And this girl, I mean, is right off the street. She never saw anything like this before. She goes, "Holy..." And the biggest swear word you could add and come back to, "What is this? What is this?" She's just freaking out. Well, she was bulimic. She was probably steeped in New Age. She got touched, radically touched by God in that meeting, and ended up within the first 3 days we were there, led her sister to the Lord. And now within 2 or 3 months has been delivered from a spirit of bulimia and is breaking out in many ways. I mean, so God is doing stuff. You know what I mean? I was down in Hawaii, and I have a friend down there, and I was actually on a 10-hour layover in Honolulu on my way down to New Zealand to do some conferences down there and in Australia. I had a 10-hour layover, and they said, oh, I can set up a meeting for you in a bakery. I thought, well, I've never spoken in a bakery before. Let's do it. So I get down to Honolulu. I tell you, 40 people showed up. It was more like a donut shop, what we call a donut shop here in Canada, like Tim Hortons. Or like Dunkin' Donuts in the United States. Down in Australia,
yeah.
You guys like your coffee a lot more than we do. Down in Australia,
Donut King.
Yeah. So it was a donut shop. All of a sudden, the gold dust breaks out in the gold shop. I start prophesying over people. People start walking in off the street. Okay, that never had encounters like this in their life before. One woman got swallowed right up in it. And all of a sudden, she goes, I've never been in. What is this? I've never even. She just started getting touched. Well, the owner of that store was so touched by the Holy Spirit, she went out and started buying us gifts. I mean, she was just completely touched by the Lord. Anyway, in that, before I went there, I heard the Lord say that there's a youth revival about to break out in Hawaii. So just keep that in prayer. And those of you out there who may have an opportunity to go there and breathe life on that word. Are you there? Are we still connected? I can't hear you right now. Hello? David, I'm going to hang up and call back.
Hello, am I back on air? I'll just check with the chat room. And then I better pray because we appear to be having some warfare. Cool, looks like I'm back. So I'll just pull Darren back up. And there we go. Should have Darren back. Sorry, everyone. Just a little bit of warfare there, getting kicked off the air. Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that you would bless this. And I just come against every darkness that would seek to stop this message going forth in the name of Jesus. Darren, it's kind of funny because just before you got kicked off air, you were telling a story about a girl that swore. please continue with the story, brother. I apologize for whatever just happened then. I'm not quite sure, but we seem to be back.
Hello?
Don't hear anything.
David.
Okay, gotcha. Sorry, gotcha. You're back, bro. I can hear you.
Okay, so did you hear what I said just then?
No, you probably have to repeat it. I don't know exactly what happened, but I got kicked off air for about 3 or 4 minutes.
Okay, no problem. I said that girl ended up getting touched powerfully by the Holy Spirit that weekend. She kept coming back to the meeting. She brought her family in. Her sister gave her heart to the Lord. About a month or 3 weeks to a month later, she got delivered from a spirit of bulimia, and now she's like doing really well. So it's all because of supernatural, the signs of one. There's the presence of God following the ministry. So people are being touched, David, and they're being transformed. I think what we are at is like right now we're seeing the beginnings of the army rising, so we're not seeing a lot of it. But it is happening everywhere we go. We are seeing people touched. a lot of the churches just really want. I don't really understand. I go to a lot of conferences, and some of the people are just like they're fans. You know what I mean? Like they're not there for a real encounter. They might want to get tickled a little bit, but when it comes time to be challenged, I think they're there more for an autograph than they are for an encounter. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, and I say that, and you know, I guess it's just with the way media is and the entertainment industry is, people do look at certain men and women of God that are anointed with the Holy Spirit, especially if they've been on television or radio or they've written books, as superstars. And I don't think that, and maybe, you know, the favor of God does lift people up, no doubt about it. But I read the Apostle Paul's teachings, and he was very much trying to tell the church to stop looking to the super apostles, as he wrote, and look to Christ. How can we as the bride of Christ change our minds as far as, so he's a fivefold minister like yourself, anointed and doing wondrous works in the kingdom, you know, and then there's someone that's a saint that's called maybe to a secular realm of work, you know, but has access to the same Holy Ghost that you have. How can we change our thinking to be empowered and to have, you know, a recognition that we have the same access to the same anointing that you have?
I haven't always been who I am today. You know that, right? I mean, I was a guy who nobody knew. 12 years ago, I was just a seeker, and I needed serious deliverance because I came out of a lot of. I remember going through withdrawals of drugs. I mean, I remember being haunted by the enemy. But when God spoke to my heart, I believed him. And so I began to have encounters with God. So really, first of all, I would tell people, don't leave the place of seeking God until you actually encounter him. Every time there's a scripture that says you're going from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Well, each one of those glory, it's like an encounter. When your faith gets strengthened, you're going from one level of faith to the next. So wherever you are, whatever level you're at, you're having encounters. And so you start from where you are. And so, I mean, I've written books about how God had used me in the workplace to see people touched by the power of God. And I mean, we used to have signs and wonders happen inside my cubicle in government in Canada. And Canada is a socialistic, humanistic, agnostic government. And they would tell me when I first started, I wasn't allowed to talk about God. And I said to God, I said, well, God, I said, I didn't want to come back here. That was your choice. And so if I'm here, I'm going to be talking about you. And sure enough, it began to break. And I began to see salvations take place in some of the hardest soil in our country. And through signs and wonders, through miracles taking place in that place. So if I can do it, anybody can do that, because it's really just saying, God, I want to be used by you. It's not me doing it anyway, David. It's always God. So we always got. I tell people I don't take the blame for when God doesn't move, and I can't take the blame for when He does. You know what I mean? So I really look at myself as just a reporter, and I'm reporting on what God is doing. So all the stories I have, which are hundreds at this point, are really just me observing God move.
Awesome. Absolutely. And when you get that revelation that it's the Spirit of God that really is doing the ministry, take the pressure off yourself to try and make something happen. You know, there's nothing more awesome than the power of God showing up, and there's nothing more irritating than someone trying to make the power of God show up. Bro, I want to ask you this. So there's two manifestations that I see that have been probably manifesting for the past 25 years now, probably longer than that, honestly, that just seem to bring so much offense. And you mentioned it, one of them you mentioned earlier, and that is the Gold Dust.
Yeah.
And the second manifestation that still brings a lot of offense is Holy Joy, Drunk in the Spirit Laughter. Can you speak a little bit about that?
I should not want to offend you. Well, I mean, there's the real thing, and then there's the mockery one, too, you know what I mean? So you got to discern what happens when that takes place. And there's always going to be fake signs and real signs. I mean, I've had to deal with fake signs as much as if I had to deal with the right real thing. Funny story, I was in Edmonton, Alberta, and I was in a church. They told me that the pastor there definitely would not want the glory dust or gold dust, or I call them sparklies, to take place in this church. So I get out there and we go to a mall. I mean, we went to a mall, and he's been in that region 25 years ministering, and he led a woman to the Lord 25 years ago, and we just happened to bang into her inside the mall. We rode a roller coaster together. Well, gold dust breaks out on her, and I prophesy in her so accurate, she was shocked, and he was too. And then he had to deal with, why in the, like, here I am with this guy, and he's prophesying into my first fruit into this region, not into my church, into the first person I've ever led to the Lord in this region. God made it so that he would prophesy into that one first. Now think about that as a spiritual principle. It's amazing. So it stunned him. Not only that, we didn't know this, but his sister was, or his wife was sisters with one of my friend's wife. And so all of a sudden we had to deal with, he's prophesying and signs of wonder breaking out with his first convert. And this guy knows my brother-in-law like I do. So he was shocked. So that paved a way for me to be able to speak. And that often is what occurs with my ministry, is that the people that I work with, God gives a very accurate prophetic word, or I say something that was a thought in their head a day or two ago. So all of a sudden, God has their attention so that they know it's God and not man. So then we get into the church, and all of a sudden, there's fake gold dust on the floor. I know it's fake because I've seen everything that you can say is fake, because I've had to become very discerning because of the nature of that gift. So anyway, this guy, at the end of the week, the gold dust is appearing all over the people. He's getting touched. Then he starts seeing this fake stuff in the carpet and gets down on his hands and knees with a flashlight, and he's looking for gold in the carpet. So I'm trying to shut down the meeting, okay? I mean, it's the end of the night. It's about 10:30. I go, Pastor, come here. We need to shut the meeting down. And he waves at me like, no, go away, go away. I don't want to talk to you right now. So I go a second. I said, Pastor, you got to come here. We got to shut the meeting down. And he looks up, and he looks over to me. He says, you shut the meeting down. He's drunk in the spirit. I'm looking for gold. What people don't get is it's not about the gold at all. It's about the presence of God. You know what I mean? My wife gave me this picture. Remember the boys there, like in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 24, verse 9 and 10. And for you theologians out there, you can write that down, look it up later. They went up on the mountaintop, Moses, Aaron, and two other guys, and 70 elders go up on top of the mountain. And God appears on the mountain. He comes out of like of a door, and it says below his feet there is lupus lazuli in one translation. Another one says sapphire stones, blue stone. So when God's presence shows up, he comes, and not only does he show up, but oftentimes gold dust will show up. Heaven encounters earth. Gemstones will appear. This is just a sign that God was there. Moreover, it's a greater sign, because the message that you and I carry is about Jesus Christ. Did you hear me? It's not about Darren Cannon. It's not about David Reed. I'm an ambassador of heaven. I'm there preaching that Jesus Christ came into the earth to die for us who were sinners, who were miserable. miserable citizens. Some people are still miserable, but whoo, you know what I mean? These miserable creatures, and we don't have to stay that way, but we can be born into a new life, redeemed. No longer does our countenance carry darkness, but now we're sons of God, carrying the light of Christ. And just like Christ came in the earth and walked in signs and wonders, you and I do. So why wouldn't God follow that up or back that up with a sign and wonder following? That's the message of the gospel. Signs and wonders followed that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Some of the
issues
have gold dust break out in their house. I can feel it.
I'm in.
We have one woman in Montreal. I sometimes throw water on the audience as a prophetic sign, you know, like or a prophetic word. Like according to Isaiah 44:1-4, in there it says, the Lord's going to pour out his spirit like waters on dry ground. So I'll throw the water out, the prophetic act. This one woman walks up to me in the meeting. She goes, oh, my God, when you threw the water out over the people, I got so jealous. I didn't get a drop, not a drop. I had a full bottle of water in my hand right here. So I began to pour it out over her head. I mean, I think I poured a half bottle of water over her head. Well, then I turned around, and this was a real, like, lively revival meeting going on there. There was probably 120 people there, and they're all loud, right? I get 6 feet away from that woman. They're going, Darren, come here, come here. I turn around and go back. Within 5 seconds from that water hitting her head, her hands broke out in the thickest oil and glittery sparkle. And it was on her hand for 4 days. 4 days. And I tell people it had to be a miracle because she felt like she had to send me money after that.
So in that story, which was your favorite sign and wonder then? Sending the money or the oil?
I just think it's funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
The oil, I'm like a kid. I've now seen that stuff break out on thousands of people. But every time I see it, I was just down in Puerto Rico, and there was probably 120 people there at the altar. Every single person had some on their hands. Now, sometimes it's a lot, and then it breaks out on faces. So you'll see, like, reds and greens and yellows, every color you can add, break it out. And when I see it every time, never fails, I just get drunk in the Holy Spirit and I begin to praise the Lord because I'm like a kid in the candy shop at that point. I had my kids in the candy store yesterday, the biggest candy store you can imagine. And they were like wanting to get candy right away. I said, no, guys, we got to look at the whole store first. And so I said, bring them around. Well, you know what kids are like in candy stores. I mean, they saw the color. Full candy, and that's what they wanted. But I brought them over to the chocolate section, made them look at the ice cream. But then I said, no, what do you want? You've seen everything in the store. We want the candy! And they ran back toward the candy. Well, that's the way we are. I mean, we're childlike. I'm childlike. I say, I just want to see the glory! You know what I mean? I want to see God move. I want to see somebody who's never seen a sign and wonder, and I want to see their facial expression when all of a sudden they know that that's real and that comes from God. There's nothing like that moment. I remember one time in Texas, I was preaching down there, and one of the women thought it was makeup. You often get that one, oh, it's makeup. And I said, no, it's not makeup. I saw it on her hands. Then we saw it on her three children's hand and her husband's hand. And she knew it was real. She knew it was God. She said out loud, she goes, now I know Jesus Christ is real because of this sign and wonder. Now, the second one with the laughter thing,
wow.
I don't get a lot of laughter in my meetings like that. I think that there's somebody who actually could teach you better on this. There's three stages of revival, and they talked about the first stage, like the Toronto, when the Toronto Blessing broke out, that was the first stage of a three-stage revival, okay? And the first stage, the people will look like drunken men.
And in that revival, everywhere you went, people were just falling on the floor like drunken people. And in the second one, it's more about the fire. And it's more about sanctification and mature. They're maturing now, you see. So a lot of times when you see people laughing in holy laughter like that, what's occurring is the Holy Spirit's going deep into the wounds of their heart, and he's healing them through laughter. So you'll see a lot of laughter like that. But in the words that I've gotten, I can't remember this word. I wish I could. But there would be three stages, and the second one would be like fire. And the last one, see, it's a reversed order. It's apparently of the book of Acts. Remember, they looked like drunken men in the streets. The fire and the tongues came in. Well, we're seeing that kind of like crazy signs and wonders pouring out now. It's a different kind of revival than 20 years ago.
Yeah. So true, bro. So true. I've got 1,000 questions, and I think I've asked about 2 of the questions that I had planned, and you know what? That's good, because it means the Spirit of God has led us. A lot of people have called in, and they want to speak to you, so I'm going to take some callers. You can call in. I believe the number is 929-477-1864. I apologize if you don't get on the air. I'm just going to take 10 minutes. So think of a question that you have for Darren. Maybe it's something that he talked about today or something unrelated. And after we're taking some calls, I'm just going to get Darren to talk a little bit about his books, his website, and some of the places you can get to see him. Officially, we only have 1.5 minutes left on air, but for whatever reason, it continues to broadcast, even if we go over time, and it records for the archive as well. And I'm not going to read your number out, your whole number out. Your first 3 digits on your phone number is 252, and I'm about to activate you as a caller because you've been waiting for 46 minutes on hold. So I've just activated you. So caller 252, can you hear me currently on the air? Hello, caller 252, can you hear me on the air? Okay.
Yes, I can hear you.
Awesome. What's your name? Where are you from? And do you have a question for Darren?
I'm Penny Jenkins. I'm from New Bern, North Carolina.
You're from New Bern?
Yes.
Are you with, do you know Michael Rogers?
Yes, yes, I certainly do. I'm a part of that ministry as well.
That's where I met Bob Jones, that church. That was awesome.
Yes, it was awesome. Yeah.
Now, have you got a question for Darren?
Oh, I didn't have a question. I wasn't able to be online, so I had to call in to listen because I was at work tonight, so I wanted to hear him speak. So.
No problem. All right. Well, what I might do is I might go to one of the more recent callers then that's just called into the show now. 323 is the first 3 digits of your phone number. So caller 323, can you hear me? You should be on the air.
Okay.
We'll go to 845, and we'll make, if this doesn't activate, we'll just move into something else. So, 845, can you hear me?
Yeah, hi, it's me, Patricia Cook. I was just listening in because I'm having problems with the Black Talk Show.
You're having problems, okay.
Usually, when people call in, they say if you want to be in the queue to press 1, and other people could call in and just listen, and only the ones who press 1 you can talk to. I'm so sorry. I'll hang up for somebody else, okay?
It's okay.
Give blessings.
No,
love you.
No problem.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bless you. See ya. All right. No problem. Well, we might just wrap it up, and I'll just make sure I've got Darren still on the air there. My apologies. It's not so much that I'm learning Blog Talk Radio and how it works. It's more so that sometimes things don't work 100% as they do when you practice. That's okay. So, Darren, would you be able to tell us a little bit about your books, where we can find them, your website, and what's coming up in your itinerary?
Yeah, I can do that. I've written 11 books. Probably my I'm always writing. I actually have been writing a lot the last week, too. You can go onto Amazon.com and just type Darren Canning, and you'll see a lot of books in there. I think some of my more popular ones would be The Army Rising, and it's really a testimonial book about how I started to see miracles as I started hitting the road and some of the early mission trips that I went on. And there's another book called Fire Script, which is my testimonial about coming out of atheism and some of the early miracles I saw, accidental miracles, I call them. And a lot of times I would see things happen and get upset because I didn't know what God was doing. And then I have a bunch of other books, too. And a couple books on prophetic ministry and hearing the voice of God. One's called The Science of Prophetic Ministry. It's probably my main selling book, called The Science of Prophetic Ministry. But if you really just wanted to check out some of my... I'm actually, if you Google my name, I have sermons out there on SoundCloud. I have some stuff on YouTube. My main ministry probably is through Facebook, so feel free to connect with me through Facebook. I usually have some room to take new people, or you can follow me on one of those pages. But one of my main products would be Holy Spirit Journals, which is connected to my website, darrencanning.org. Holy Spirit Journals is where I blog, so I try to blog quite a bit. There's usually some recent writings in there. I wrote one today called On Apostolic Centers. So you can go in there and read this. There's literally hundreds of blog entries on the web. If you type my name and say Holy Spirit or Gifts of the Holy Spirit, you might get 7 or 8 articles that I've written on Holy Spirit gifts. Anything really. You can type my name and Blood of Jesus and you'll get articles on that. So you can just Google me and you'll see a lot of stuff online.
Awesome, awesome. And just your website and where people can check out where you'll be ministering in the near future.
Oh, yeah, yeah. My website, there's an itinerary page on Darren Canning, D-A-R-R-E-N, Canning, C-A-N-N-I-N-G.org. There's a place on there called Itinerary. I'm leaving actually... This Friday, I'll be ministering in near Baton Rouge and Biloxi, Mississippi. And then I jump on the plane. I'm down the Dominican Republic next week. I'm back on the plane and up to Montreal for a conference up there next weekend. And after that, I'm doing a tour of the United States with stops in Kentucky, Kansas, Texas, all over Texas, actually. Then over to Louisiana and to Florida. And then I have an exciting conference coming up in Virginia, September 26th, 25th, 27th, with Wesley Campbell. Very exciting. That's a crazy story. I preached down in Virginia at this place in a furniture store. Signs and wonders broke out so powerfully that a new prayer meeting broke out. I'm going down there. They're renting a gym, school auditorium that can sit 800 people, and they're believing that it's going to be packed out for this meetings with me and Wesley Campbell in September. 3 or 4 churches are already coming because of what they heard God is doing. So we're seeing God do some amazing stuff. And if you can connect with me through my meetings, I'd love to meet you.
Fantastic. Well, Darren, I really appreciate you coming on, brother, and hopefully in the future we can have you on again, because I'd like to pick your brains a bit more. I just pray a blessing over your ministry. And, for those of you that are listening, you heard the story about what Darren Canning and his family are doing, stepping out in faith. I really encourage you to go to the website.
And there's a section there where you can partner financially with, you know, the Canning family and what they're doing. And I really encourage you to prayerfully do that. Please buy the books, and remember that buying resources like that, not only are you getting blessed by the teachings in the book, but you're also sowing back into their ministry so that they can spread the gospel to all four corners of the earth. So, Darren, thanks again, and I'll talk to you in the near future, no doubt.
Yeah, no problem. Bless you, Dave. Good to hear you again.
It's good to hear you, too. Keep growing that beard.
Yeah, I will. Take care.
See you, bro.
Bye-bye.